This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jerome McGinley's mom, 500 goals.
Up at center, coming in as home. Hildenike center net.
Murray gets it again. That's the shot. They score!
Stop the feud. You're losing. Calgary, what in the hell is going on Saturday night? Last Saturday night, we watched you just get pummeled by Vegas. This week, we sit through an LA loss that was not worse than the scoreboard, but worse all around. The compete level was garbage. The work ethic was garbage. Everything was garbage. And if I hear one more person tell me that, whoa, it's okay, because last year at the 10-game mark, we got shelled by Pittsburgh 9-1, and from there on, we were golden. Do you know how hard it is to do that 2 years in a row? Think about it. That'd be like us saying at midseason, oh, it's okay, we're in last, because the Blues came back and won the Stanley Cup. I'm not pinning my odds on that. Let's go, Flames. Now, on a positive note, tonight's win in Anaheim makes the Flames 227-5 in the last 34 games of the Honda Center. So, hey, things are moving in the right direction, right, Calgary? Right? I thought that after Detroit. Are you sure? Are they heading in the right direction?
NHL News, opinions, and controversy.
All right, Flames fans, we got three games to recap since our last show. Jeez, you'd swear I hardly did these shows. Only twice a week. What the heck? Three games and since then. Busy weekend for the Flames. Some good. Some bad. I don't know. Maybe I'm letting the LA game get me down too much. We're going to talk about that. First, let's talk Detroit at Calgary last Thursday night. I thought Calgary controlled like 90% of that game. On a bad note, Mangiapane goes down in the second with an injury. He doesn't return. He did not go on the trip to California. Lucic, I thought he was really good. Created some goals. Got a D-man for Detroit. I can't remember who it was. Just totally pulled the chute, allowing Lucic to get it out front for Bennett to make it 3-1. And then poor Detroit defenseman Roenick scores in his own net. Ryan gets the goal, but it was purely because Lucic and Ryan worked their ass off down in the corner. It was purely because of that. Then the crazy rough stuff started. Helm slewfoots Lindholm off the faceoff. Lindholm retaliates with an elbow to the head of Helm. Helm comes back a couple seconds later. Baseball swing slashes Lindholm in the back of the leg. Lindholm goes out, doesn't return. I wish Hammond could have just got just a couple more punches off. He did his best. Anyways, Calgary wins 5-1. Great game. I thought good game from Bennett. Rittich was good. Ryan, Lucic, Gio, all those were good. On the negative, I would say the whole first line pretty much didn't show up again that night, which is frustrating. First week of the season, those guys are golden, and then we complained about the bottom six. Now we got the bottom six kind of going, and now we can't find our top six. Hopefully we can get that straightened out. Then Saturday night happened. October 19th, hockey night in Canada. Calgary visits the Staples Center in LA. I'll tell you what, it was a disaster from the drop of the puck. LA controlled the game from start to finish. 1:15 mark, Toffoli completely walks Hanifin and scores. I don't know what Hanifin was doing. I'm not going to rip on him too bad because I think he's been outstanding all year, so it quite honestly shocked the heck out of me when he walked around him and scored that. Then 18 seconds into the second, Carter scores. And then later in the second, Rittich just completely lost his mind after the fourth goal. He was slashing and whacking everybody in sight, took a second penalty of the game on a slash. I wish at that point they would have pulled him right there, because it just wasn't going to get any better. Second period goes down as the Flames' worst period. Pat Steinberg of Fan960 tweeted that the Flames were outscored 3-0 in the second. Shots were 20-4 favoring LA. The Kings had 30-10 edge in attempts, 10-0 edge in high danger chances. That is a bad period. Talbot comes in for Rittich in the third, which is a great move, I thought. We all knew Talbot was getting the go in Anaheim on Sunday night, and Rittich not faulting him at all, except for that he was very frustrated, and I think he just needed a break. He just needed to get himself out of that game. I'm not pinning the goals on him by any means. He had nobody, and I mean nobody, helping him out. Talbot comes into the third, doesn't allow a goal. Calgary gets its lone goal on a penalty shot that shouldn't even have been a penalty shot, but it was. Michael Backlund gets his first of the year on that penalty shot, a beauty. As a whole, though, the game was a disaster. Positive players, I thought Zarnik was decent, and I thought Shillington actually was decent. Negative, I could list about 18 here. The four that stood out the crappiest were Hanifin, Brody, Gaudreau, and Monahan. Frustration was high after that game Saturday night, big time. Peters ripped the team on the bench for quite some time. And I'm not going to lie, after watching it, listening to overtime and listening to fan calls and everything, and boy, it was ugly. I woke up Sunday in a crabby mood because of the way the Flames are playing. But they get redemption tonight. Sunday, October 20th, Calgary wins 2-1 in Anaheim, and I thought it was a pretty good game as a whole. First period and a half, though, I still thought Calgary lacked that get up and go. It didn't look like they were playing with any confidence, slow, I thought. I was actually quite worried that we were in for another one tonight. And lots changed in the second, though. I thought there was a big improvement. It seemed like we were winning those one-on-one battles that we hadn't won, shoot, at all down in LA. So things were kind of turning around. Backlund scores a beauty midpoint of the third period, which proved to be the game winner on a great pass from Tkachuk. Zarnik did set that up in the neutral zone on a Anaheim turnover. The big story of the night in Anaheim, though, Cam Talbot, flat out amazing. 3-4, 10 Bell saves that saved the game for the Flames. I think this is great because I've loved the way Rittich has played all year. And now, knowing that we have that confidence with Talbot, and I kind of predicted this early in the season that Talbot was going to push and push and push and have a kind of a rebound year. I like him. I like him a lot. I feel real confident no matter what goalie's in net. My biggest fear now is just if we're going to show up with a work ethic. Positives on the night in Anaheim: Talbot, Zarnik, Tobias Reeder, I thought had a really, really good game, which was fun to see because I thought his camp was good. Obviously, it was good. He earned himself a spot and showed up and played well tonight. I also thought Jankowski was pretty darn good tonight. And I noticed during some critical times at the end of the game, Peters had him out, which is a good sign. Maybe that'll boost his confidence and get him sparked and get him going. But thought he was good tonight. I also thought Backlund was good. On a negative, I thought Brody still struggled tonight. A lot of he just seems like mentally he struggled just a little bit, which, you know, we didn't see in the second half of the year last year at all. But in the first half of the year, we saw a lot of what we're seeing this year. It's almost like he's disengaged and he snapped out of it last year. Let's just hope he can snap out of it this year.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, Matthew Tkachuk, this segment of the show is for you. I think it's time to stop this feud. I've had enough of it. Now, I like rivalries, but I don't know how feuds help teams. Rivalries help teams because that gets everybody going. Feuds oftentimes are a distraction, right? I'm not sure of the magnitude in the locker room this feud has created amongst the players, and I'm not even sure how much Tkachuk thinks about it pregame. I know he does. It would be impossible not to. But I wish he would not fuel it. I think Doughty's laid off on that. The reason I hate it is we're losing the feud. As much as it looks, though, that Tkachuk has gotten into the head of Doughty, which he has at times during the feud, I'm wondering if it's actually counteracting and working in the opposite way, giving the Kings, who are not a very good hockey team, who look like Stanley Cup champions and they play Calgary, the motivation that hurts Calgary. So knock it off, Tkachuk. Put it to rest. The Kings have owned the Flames this year. 4-3 win where they dominated the game and a 4-1 dominating performance on Saturday night. Stop the mind games. Let's beat them on the ice. There's no reason to motivate a team like the Kings that's not really good. It doesn't motivate the Flames. It's obvious. We don't even look like we care when we play them. And last night, I thought Tkachuk was pretty much a no-show. Then the scrum happens and, you know, things kind of go wild. And I don't know. I just, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, things erupted.
Picked up by Tkachuk. And he gets taken out of the... Good check by Drew Doughty, who goes low on Tkachuk. And this is the first of Doughty and Tkachuk of any significance we've seen. And it's a giant dog pile. These guys have been pretty quiet tonight in terms of playing against each other, but it erupts here in the third period in a game that's out of reach. And it all started with that hit by Doughty on Tkachuk.
I was a little surprised to see that happen. I didn't see it coming. And then all of a sudden, boom, we're into it. The only thing I like to that is look at the captain come flying in like Superman to get Clifford, because he wasn't going to let Clifford get in on this whole feud. It was not much of a fight, but I just wish that the Flames showed that spark and that energy the whole game. Other players in the league have commented about the feud. Ryan Reeves commented about it. He talked about some of his feuds. Drew Doughty talked about the feud on After Hours last night on Hockey Night in Canada. And he says, he blew it off. He said he has feuds with numerous different players throughout the league. He said it's not as big as Joe Thornton's his biggest feud. You know what I think what should happen? And I agree with Reeves. He said it in his quote. If this is going to be a feud, you need to square up and you need to fight and get it over with. The Flames need to focus on winning. Tkachuk, there is no reason to give the Kings fuel to get them motivated to beat you. That's what this is doing. I don't like it. Knock it off. It's not helping.
Inside Edge Hockey News. Bringing you inside the game.
What kind of team are the Flames? You keep telling yourself you're an elite team because you were last year, but that doesn't mean it's a guarantee this year. You know, after last year's playoff disappointment, you would think that the Flames would come out with a little bit more intensity this year. Teams are going to have bad games, and I'm not trying to overblow this Kings game. It's a good thing I didn't do this podcast last night because I was really fired up. But the thing is, what bothers me the most about the way things are going this year is that we lack intensity. We lack work ethic. That's scary. You would think with the way the playoffs went last year, especially for Gaudreau and Monahan, that those guys would be out with a vengeance. Gaudreau looks completely disengaged. You know, we watch a player like Blake Lizotte for the Kings, for example. And I have some experience with Blake Lizotte. He played junior hockey in the town that I live in. He's a great kid. He's a rookie for the Kings out of St. Cloud State. He's, I don't know his exact height, but I believe 5'9"-ish. The reason he's playing in the National Hockey League and has moved up to the second line center for the Los Angeles Kings in his rookie year, undrafted, is because he busts his ass on every single shift and creates stuff. Now, I'm sorry for being so critical on our star, Johnny Gaudreau. But if he watched Blake Lizotte and he busted his ass on every shift, like Blake Lizotte does, Gaudreau would be having a lot better success than he's having this year. I think one of the things we're seeing in Calgary is a poor me attitude when things aren't going their way. And then when things get going, like they did in the second period tonight in Anaheim, and things start clicking and we get a goal, then all of a sudden we turn into the Calgary Flames. We can be. Well, things aren't going to go your way every single night. Nothing's going to come easy in the National Hockey League because there's a lot of good hockey teams. You need to fight through the difficult times, and that's what we didn't do in the playoffs last year, and I'm seeing it again this year. Put your poor me attitude in your back pocket and get to work.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, let's get things in a little bit more positive. Actually, we're not going positive. I'm sorry. We should be. But now it's time to talk some injuries. And that's never fun. We had kind of a little barrage of them this week. Against Detroit, Backlund gets a shot blocked that's scared. He's okay. He got slammed into the boards in L.A. last night by Doughty on what was called a penalty shot. I thought, man, I worried about his shoulder, but he looked to be okay. Lindholm in the Detroit game. Actually, the Backlund slap shot was not the Detroit game. I believe that was a Philadelphia game. The block shot. But he never missed any time. He was back. He's good. He scored tonight. Game winner. Beauty. Lindholm takes a slash to the leg in the Detroit game from Helm. Helm did receive a fine for the play. Lindholm played Saturday night, was fine. One loss, so game. Mangiapane goes out in the Detroit game. Looks to be a concussion. It's undisclosed. Did not travel with the team. Should be back next week, according to Peters. Hopefully he'll be okay. He was just starting to get his game going. And then tonight, Bennett out, injured in the LA game on a knee to, we're speculating, lower body on a knee to knee. Not playing in Anaheim, unknown where we go from here. Because of that, there was a roster move. Shillington was sent down. Alan Quine brought up to fill Bennett's absence. Shillington was picked to go down, not because of the way he's playing, just because of cap space. It's one of the unfortunate things that happens when you've crammed yourself to the cap so, so hard that you've got that your some of your moves are going to be dictated not so much by what you want, but by what has to happen just to be able to keep you underneath the cap. It is our Sunday night show, which releases on Monday, and every Sunday night we have Harvey's Doghouse. I'm sorry, this is like my most negative show ever. Even though I was happy with tonight's Anaheim performance, my first two major segments were not that positive. Hopefully the Flames can get it going and I can talk all positive things, but I speak the truth. I speak what I'm seeing when it comes to Calgary Flames hockey. Harvey's Doghouse, my guy in the doghouse this week, TJ Brody. Absolutely does everything he can to not block a shot, it seems like, especially in the LA game. Lifts his leg, does a flamingo, which causes LA's second goal. Later in the game, totally lets Clifford go by him. Yes, Clifford, of all guys, walk around him for a scoring chance. He doesn't score, but you know what? Even scarier on that is because Brody doesn't angle him off into the boards, Clifford runs into Riddick. What if Riddick gets hurt? Then it's because Brody was, you know, not playing the play the way he should, being lazy. And then that happens. TJ Brody, you're in Harvey's doghouse this week. Time to switch it around. Time to get things going. I was your biggest fan last year, your proponent, the second half of the year, telling all the naysayers that he's not bad. We need to keep this guy. He's an integral part of the Flames. Don't prove me wrong. Johnny Gaudreau, you're on notice for next week. I was much happier with your second and third period tonight, so you're on the right direction if you keep that going. Fan question of the week this week from Mason Tillington from Calgary, Alberta. Who's your favorite team to watch play the Calgary Flames? Well, Mason, I kind of got this in two different parts. My favorite team to watch them play is Vancouver. Just probably because one of my buddies is a Canucks fan, so that, you know, that helps spur that rivalry for me. But I also like watching them play Edmonton. And then as far as Eastern Conference teams, because I kind of look at that differently because it's a different type of a rivalry. There isn't a rivalry. It's just, you know, who are they fun to watch play? For some reason, I kind of enjoy watching them play Philadelphia, Washington, and Toronto. Don't have any reasons why on that one. Usually when it's Philadelphia, they're usually high-scoring fun games. We saw a lot of that last year. Washington, we usually lose, but for some reason, there seem to be exciting games. And Toronto, I don't know. Probably maybe it's just the Toronto thing, the hype thing. I don't know. Kind of usually hate it, though, because usually when they play in Calgary, there's so damn many Toronto fans. It gets frustrating, but... Mason, thanks for the question, and that is my favorite teams. Is Canucks is my favorite team to watch the Flames play. Game preview, one game before our next episode. Washington comes into Calgary on Tuesday night, October 22nd. Washington's record is 5-2-2, 12 points, second in the Metro. Calgary with the win tonight in Anaheim improves to 5-4-1 for 11 points. Washington off to a strong start. Holtby is struggling miserably, though. Ilya Samsonov has stepped in and been lights out. Interesting to see how that shakes out. Holtby, in my mind, will stay the number one. I can't see Samsonov taking him, but it would be in the best interest of the Capitals for Holtby to get things going. TJ Oshie leads a team with 6 goals. The real story in Washington is John Carlson. Flat out amazing. 17 points in 9 games, 14 assists, 3 goals. That is a pace that is off the charts and has also been playing well defensively for the team. Calgary, for an elite team, scoring has been dried up this year. Last year, they were at the top of the league in goals. This year, they ranked 23rd with a goals per game at 2.56. Power play is struggling and goals per game is struggling. Time for Calgary to switch that around. Players to watch, TJ Oshie, will he continue his scoring streak and keep things going for the Capitals? Player to watch for Calgary. And the reason I'm going to put this one is because of the way he played tonight in the second and third period. I thought Johnny Gaudreau started to turn things around, and I want to see him get going and get back to his scoring prowess that we watched so many goals last year. And we need to get scoring going in Calgary, and Johnny Gaudreau's the man to get us out of that slump. Thanks for tuning into the show. I am Brad Baroud. We do this show twice a week on the Hockey Podcast Network and Inside Edge Hockey News Radio. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Baroud on Twitter at Brad Baroud. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
Flames fans, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and going down McGinnis. They've got their sweats on and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.